ENCA just tweeting breaking news of the appointment of Johnny Dlala as the new acting CEO of Eskom. More to follow on that story as well. We're going to keep one ear on Parliament. We may take you back when they get to the question on state capture. But for now, I want to break away from what's happening in the National Assembly to spend a few minutes on what happened in the Constitutional Court this morning. In case you missed it, the Con Court ruling in response to the UDM's application asking it to force the Speaker to prescribe a secret ballot for the vote of no confidence. To talk to us about the implications of what happened this morning, on the line with me is Pepelapi Dube, the Director at the Centre for Constitutional Rights. Great to have you with us. Thanks for joining me.
Afternoon, Pippa. Thank you for having me.
This ruling wasn't really a surprise, was it? Everybody was saying, those who know the Constitution well and who know this court well, were saying there will be some kind of middle ground respecting the separation of powers and also acting on the request. Were you surprised by what was ruled this morning?
No, not at all. I mean, apart from the fact that I think there seems to be some misunderstanding as to what exactly the UDM had asked for. The UDM had asked for the court to state whether or not a secret ballot was possible. So in that sense, the UDM pretty much got exactly what they had asked for.
They did indeed. And the answer was it is the Speaker's responsibility, not the Constitutional Court's responsibility, to make that decision. It leaves her in quite an interesting space, doesn't it? Because she had said in her own submission to the court that she wasn't opposed to the secret ballot. She just didn't think it was her decision to make.
Yes, absolutely. So it puts her in a very interesting position in that going forward, and I think this afternoon the DA did indicate that they will be asking for the Speaker of Parliament to schedule a motion of no confidence as a matter of urgency. So it will be interesting to see whether, given her own admission by the court and given the fact that the court agrees with her own admission, it should be interesting to see exactly what sort of power she's going to exercise with all of this that has gone on today.
It's particularly interesting because the consequences down the line for her personally are quite big. She could ultimately find herself in a position of a huge amount of power if if the vote happens in secret and if the decision is that the vote is passed. She will actually be the person left running the country for at least a short time.
Yes, that is true. And just to recap, this particular motion of no confidence will not only remove the president, but it will also remove the cabinet as well as the deputy minister. Now, obviously, if the deputy president also loses his office, it means that we can't then have the deputy president acting as the president. Then the third in line is the Speaker of Parliament, but she's only in that position only until the National Assembly can get its act together and elect another person to then complete President Zuma's term. And all of this has to take place within 30 days from the date in which the successful motion of no confidence is passed.
Okay, so she for 30 days plays a pivotal role in the process, and who knows what happens after that. What do you think she will do? Do you think she would be prepared to stick her neck out and say, we're not going to do it in secret, having already put down in papers submitted to court that she wasn't opposed to it?
Well, I think whatever decision she makes, and I think it's quite interesting to reflect on some of the words that Mokgweng had used, but he made it clear that any exercise of power has to be done so in a rational manner. So I think here the question for her is whether it's rational for her to say no to a secret, to say no to a secret ballot, even after she has said that she's open to the idea and even after the Constitutional Court has said that this is possible. So I think she's going to find herself in, between a rock and a hard stone, really.
Absolutely. What also interested me in that ruling this morning was Mokgweng's comments about the role of MPs and the obligation of MPs, or lack thereof, to vote a certain way. He was very clear to my ear in saying there's nothing in our constitution that requires an MP to vote along party lines. Essentially seemed to be saying, if you feel that you must vote a different way due to your conscience, you should be free to do so.
Yes, and not just that, he also reminded them that they've actually sown to an oath of office, and in terms of that oath of office, they've sworn to uphold the Constitution and to protect the Constitution. So their first duty really should be to the Constitution rather than a specific party line. But of course, I think another thing we need to bear in mind with our Constitution is that it makes membership of the National Assembly dependent on your being a member of a political party. So I think already there's this constitutional provision which makes it very difficult for members of Parliament to have an independent mind or to exercise independent thought, because if they do that, then they run the very real risk that their party membership might be taken away. And if that happens, then they cease to be members of Parliament.
And effectively remove themselves from the position of being able to effect the kind of change they might want. Pebelapi, I'm interested in the timelines. I know the DA has already, they tell us, written to the Speaker now asking that the motion of no confidence be scheduled at the earliest available opportunity. But our reporter pointed out to us earlier that Parliament goes into recess next week. MPs are only back towards the end of July. Do you think there's any chance that the Speaker might try and bring MPs back early or make this an urgent matter before Parliament, or do you think she's likely to bide her time and delay as long as possible?
Well, I think she's quite likely to bide her time and delay this as much as possible, but we need to bear in mind what the Constitutional Court has said in previous matters. I think it was the Mazibuko matter where Lindiwe Mazibuko basically challenged the fact that the then Speaker of Parliament had refused to table a motion of no confidence. And basically the court had said that the Speaker of Parliament, if ever any opposition party requests a motion of no confidence to be debated, then the Speaker of Parliament has to do so, and they have to do that expeditiously, because this is really a matter which goes down to the very heart of the Constitution, you know, just the manner in which we hold our politicians accountable. So I think on that basis, even if Parliament has risen, it would the Speaker of Parliament is still very much within her powers to call an extraordinary sitting of Parliament in order to have that debate held, because, you know, in line with the Constitution, it's a matter that has to be dealt with as a matter of urgency.
And given what you just said and Mokgweng Mokgweng's comments about any exercise of power must be done in a rational manner, it would seem to be irrational for her to have said she was open to the secret ballot and then to dilly-dally and refuse to then implement it. Do you think that if she does delay or if she does then refuse to allow a secret ballot, this is going to go back to court again?
Yes, absolutely. It is a matter that would definitely end up before the courts. But then on that point, I just want to point out the fact that the Constitutional Court on the question of rationality has basically said that there's very little room for the courts to actually determine what is rational and what isn't irrational. So mostly it's where she acts unlawfully or where she acts unprocedurally, but right now all she simply needs to do is to give a reason which sounds good enough, and the courts are legally bound to accept whatever reason she comes up with. So the courts really don't have a very it's a very strict standard when it comes to the courts scrutinizing the discretion which members of which holders of public offices have.
Pebelapi Dube, thank you so much for your contribution this afternoon, Director at the Centre for Constitutional Rights. And if you have a few minutes, it's worth Googling and listening to some of the judgment this morning from Chief Justice Mokgweng Mokgweng, if only to listen to that bit that she referenced about his comments about where parliamentarians' duties lie. Very clearly stating your first duty is one of loyalty to the Constitution, not to your party. You are beholden to act in accordance with the Constitution, to uphold that Constitution and to uphold the rule of law on behalf of the nation that elected you. He was absolutely clear in the message he was sending this morning. Our thanks to Pebelapi Dube of the Centre for Constitutional Rights.